Would somebody like to read that scripture for me, please?
If I would, I would like to. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
The title of today's sermon is Faith, and I'm going to demonstrate faith this morning. Are you watching? I've just demonstrated faith, because if you looked at the chair through a microscope, there's all these gaps and these things whirring round and round. You'd think, there's no way I'm going to sit on that, but I exercise faith by sitting on the chair. Right? You don't sound very keen or sure. Everyone alive expresses faith in something. You can't live a single day without expressing faith, exercising faith, faith in the physical world. When you wake up in the morning and go to the bathroom, you put the light on, you expect the light to come on. When you go out in the car, you expect the car to start when you turn the key or push the button. When you mail a letter, you expect it to arrive at the destination, the address that you put in the envelope. When you go to the chemist, you have faith that he will give you the right prescription. When you walked into this building, you had faith in the architect and the builder. Faith is also expressed in the spiritual realm. All of us, regardless of our backgrounds, education, status, class, or creed, can express faith. The difference between physical and spiritual faith is the object in who you put your faith in. Our faith is only good as the object in which we place our faith. The Bible tells us we are to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Acts 4:19, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we may be saved. Faith demonstrates to the eye of the soul, your inner self, the reality of things that can't be discerned by the physical eye. Faith is to the soul, our inner self, all that our five senses tell our physical body. We have to have faith. To understand faith, we must get past a few misconceptions. First, that faith is the ability to manipulate God. And that's the approach of the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel. It only has one aim, one fruit, the ease of life and blessing. Second misconception is that faith is an adherence to a set of beliefs. You must believe the right doctrine. But Paul told us in 1 Timothy, I know whom I have believed. There's only one person to believe in. Third, that faith is a blind leap in the dark. When we become believers, we do not have to throw our intelligence out the window. And finally, that faith is a simple devotion to whatever God one happens to follow. Unfortunately, none of these is true faith. Hebrews chapter 11 portrays what real biblical faith looks like. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Being sure of what we hope for. For it is by the elders obtained a good testimony. And by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things were seen were not made out of things that were visible. True faith is confident obedience to God's word. The word substance in the text literally means to stand under or to support, and so our faith supports us. Hudson Taylor, the Chinese missionary, went to China in a sailing vessel, and very close to a shore of cannibal island, the ship was caught in a calm, and it was slowly drifting towards the shore, and the savages were eagerly anticipating a feast. The captain came to Hudson Taylor and sought and asked him to pray for the help of God. And Taylor said, "I will, provide you raise the sails to catch the breeze." Well, the captain declined to make a laughing stock of himself by unfurling the sails in a dead calm. And so Taylor said, "I will not pray until you prepare the sails." So eventually the captain did. And while engaged in prayer, the captain knocked on Hudson Taylor's door and said, "Are you still praying?" And Taylor said, "Yes." Well, he said, "You better stop because we have more wind than we can handle." The second word describing faith is translated evidence or conviction. This inward conviction enables the believer to believe things not yet seen. Some of you will have heard of George Muller, who started the Barnardos Homes in Britain. He had several homes, and in the course of his lifetime, he received more than £1 million, and he never advertised once. He always just prayed. Well, Muller was going to Canada to fulfill an engagement over there, and off the coast of Canada, they struck severe fog. And it was obviously the ship was going to arrive late. And Muller said to the captain, "I've come to tell you that I must be in Quebec this afternoon." And the captain said, "It's impossible." And so Muller said, "Well, in that case, if your ship can't take me, God will have to find some other way. I've never broken an engagement in 57 years. I don't intend to start now. Let's go down to the chart room and pray." So they went down, and the captain looked at Muller and thought, what asylum did this man come from? He'd never heard of such a thing. He said to Muller, "Do you realize how dense the fog is?" And Muller said, no, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God." And so he knelt in prayer that the fog would lift. And the captain moved to join him in prayer. And Muller said, "You don't believe that God can act, therefore you don't need to pray." Muller finished praying and said to the captain, "Go and look outside." Opened the door and the fog had lifted. That's faith. It's one thing to talk about faith, but it's a completely different thing to act. And today we'll take a little time to discover what faith is, just how it can help us in our struggle to be everything we can be in Christ. As we look at the text, we're going to find a number of statements that can be drawn from the text. Faith is believing when we don't see it. Faith is obeying when we don't understand it. Faith is giving when we don't have it. Faith is persisting when we don't feel like it. Faith is thanking God before we receive it. And faith is trusting God even if we don't get it. So Hebrews 11:1, what is faith? It's the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. 11:2, God gave his approval to people of old because of their faith. And 11:3, by faith we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command. He spoke and it came into being. There wasn't a great heap of stuff out in space that he spoke into. He just created. In 11:1 it says, now faith is. Faith is. And we're told that faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we can't see. Now, it almost sounds like a contradiction. However, we know the Bible is the Word of God, and it teaches us that faith is imagining the future now in the present. It's being sure of what we don't see. It's seeing in advance. The world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. In 1960, the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, said, let's put a man on the moon before the end of the decade. And when he said that, none of the technology that was able to put a man on the moon had been invented. None of it. And 9 years later, Armstrong walked on the moon. We've got to believe things in advance. Everything that's ever happened in our lives was an impossibility before it became a reality. Someone had to believe in it first. Faith's nothing more than trusting God to turn our dreams into reality. We have to have faith that's going to happen in order for it to happen. We pray for the MCC, Menard Community Church, to grow in number. And several members of the congregation have had visions of this place full of people, of two data projectors, because there's so many people in here. That's faith. That's believing before seeing. Faith's doing the right thing even when it seems insane. Do you know that giving and faith go in hand? You can't separate one from the other. God uses our finances to test our faith. Have you ever made a decision whether to pay a bill or give to the church? And this is a test. How small $50 looks in the supermarket and how big it looks in the offering basket. God's testing us to see how much we trust him. We can either give by faith or we can give by fear. Giving by fear is when we say, how much can I afford? Giving by faith is when we say, how much does what God want me to give? Whether I've got it or not. It's one thing to give when we have money to spare, but it's completely different to give when we've got bills to pay. We're living in a society that believes that everything we do depends on how we feel about doing it. In other words, if you feel like doing it, do it. And if you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. But unfortunately, that's a guaranteed formula for immaturity. When we build our lives on feelings, we end up being controlled by our moods. And they can change day by day, month by month, moment by moment. We're to live our lives by commitment, not feelings. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't always feel like doing what's right, do we? I don't always feel like being nice to people. I don't always feel like praying and reading the Bible. The issue, however, is not how do I feel, but do we do the right thing? The key to success is that successful people do what most people don't feel like doing. Successful people develop habits that unsuccessful people don't feel like developing. They use their time wisely. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11:27 tells it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. He was not afraid to go to the Pharaoh. He kept going because he kept his eyes on God the whole time. If we keep our eyes on God, he will give us the power to keep on keeping on. Faith is an essential of hope. Hope's the promise that allows us to live expecting eternal life. Hope is expecting all the blessings that God's promised us. And we have to be certain that God can and will do these things in our lives. The writer of Hebrews in 11:8 tells us that it was by faith that Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Most of us heard the story before. Abraham was living in the land of Ur. He was 75 years old, and God told him to get going and sent him on a journey. He didn't tell him where he was going or how far he was to go. Now stop and ask the question, if you and I were in Abraham's shoes, what would have been our response? What would we do? Would we go? Faith, we know, is obeying God, even when we don't understand. And there are many of us who want to be guaranteed success before we try anything. And to an extent, I can understand that, because nobody wants to fail. But sometimes faith involves risk, because God wants us to trust Him. And if we wait to thank Him until we receive it, that's gratitude. But we need to thank God for answered prayer before the answer comes, like those two stories I spoke at the beginning. Faith is trusting Almighty God, even if we don't get what we want, and that can be hard. But God always hears us, and He always answers us. Sometimes His answer is yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. But He tells us no because He loves us. God isn't a vending machine where we put our prayer in and get out what we want. He only gives us what is for our benefit. And in Hebrews 11, in the Faith Hall of Fame, we find a list of people who suffered for their faith. All kinds of gruesome stuff happened to these people. But each of these people were heroes of faith. And I feel it's so important to add that living by faith doesn't mean they're going to live a free from trouble life. But the only difference is we now have the ability to handle those strains, because the Comforter is there to help us. It's easy to praise God when your health is good and all the bills are paid. But it's during the dark days that you discover what your faith is made of and where your trust truly lies, in yourself, in others, or in God. And when the day feels as... when the day feels as dark as the night, stand on this scripture, Isaiah 50, verse 10. Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord, and rely on His God. Isaiah 50, verse 10. It's 10b, I think. The three-year-old felt secure in his dad's arms as he stood in the middle of the swimming pool. But Dad, just for fun, began wading towards the deep end and gently chanting deeper and deeper and deeper as the water rose higher and higher on the child. The boy registered increasing degrees of panic and held on the more tightly to his father, who easily touched the bottom of the pool. Had the little boy been able to analyze his situation, he would have realized there was no reason for increased anxiety. The water depth in any part of the pool was over his head, even in the shallow end, had he not been held up. His safety anywhere in the pool depended on Dad. And at various points in our life, we feel like we're getting out of our depth. Problems abound. Our temptation is to panic. We've lost control. Yet, as with the child in the pool, the truth is we've never been in control of the most valuable things of life. We've always been held in the grace of God. And that doesn't change. God's never out of his depth. And therefore we are safe when we're going deeper with God. The story is told of a man who was walking around the edge of the Grand Canyon. And he got a bit close and he lost his footing. And he plunged over the side and rolled down the edge of the canyon. Fortunately, there was a little bush there and he got trapped in the bush. Well, he couldn't reach the top and it was a long way down. So filled with terror, he called out to heaven, "Is there anybody there?" And a calm, powerful voice said, "Yes, there is." So the tourist said, "Can you help me?" And the voice said, "Yes, I probably can. What's your problem?" Well, he said, "I fell over the cliff and I'm dangling in space holding onto this bush that's about to let go. Please help me." And the voice said, "I'll try. Do you believe me? Do you believe?" "Yes, yes, yes, I believe," came the response. And the voice said, "Do you have faith?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah, I've got faith." "Well, in that case, let go." That's faith. That God's there, no matter what. Heavenly Father, sometimes we struggle with our faith. We wonder whether we're doing okay. But you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And you encourage us each and every day to have faith in you, that nothing happens that you don't know about, that you won't put anything in our path, Lord, that we can't handle with your help. So I pray, Lord, that you deepen our faith, our trust in you, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that there is no one greater than you, that you have a plan, a purpose for the whole world, even though it doesn't look at times as though you have a plan. Nothing happens that you don't know about. So I pray, Lord, that you would deepen our faith and trust in you. That as problems come, Lord, we can say to you, "Lord, how are we going to handle this? Not how am I going to handle this?" It's a two-way thing. God wants the best for us. And so I pray today, Lord, that you would increase our faith. That as things hot up in the world, Lord, we would draw closer and closer to you and allow you to direct our lives step by step by step. And we bless you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.